If you have your place, if you have in Luke chapter 18, if you could please stand for the reading of God's word and get everyone awake and get everything going. We're gonna look in Luke chapter 18, and I promised you earlier that you're gonna hear from all different members of our family. So this morning, what God really has impressed in my heart is to share how we've come to this point, and really how God has changed my life. And in Luke chapter 18, we'll read in verse 35 through 43. In Luke 18, as you're turning there, the Bible says in verse 35, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Now, before we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to share this thought, is that as we examine this passage, I believe it's a beautiful illustration that Jesus values souls. And we'll see this different groups of people of how He proves that. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And Lord, I'm humbled at the fact that You would allow me to breathe today. And Lord, that you would allow us to come and to worship You and to be gathered together for the common goal is just to learn more about You and to really proclaim Your worthiness and the gospel. And so Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that, Lord, that doesn't feel valued by Jesus Christ, and Lord, maybe they are maybe at a standstill right now, or Lord, just trying to figure out what's going on. I pray that they would see that their value in Jesus Christ and how You sacrificed and done so much for us. And Lord, I also pray for that person who maybe doesn't know You as Savior, who's just thinking, well, I'll be okay, or if I come to church, then everything will be okay. I pray You'd show them their need for salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray that You would encourage us and maybe stir us up about sharing our faith with other people. And Lord, as we leave today, let it just be said that not because of Michael Wanzer's words, but because of the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God changed our lives. And in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, I thought about this passage, and really, you know, we prayed about a lot of things, but I wanted this morning just to be able to share my heart with you. And everyone wants to know, you know, how did our family come together, and you know, and what's your background, and how did you get saved? And so I really incorporated it into the message this morning. But as we look at the passage, we see Christ is coming into Jericho, and the city of Jericho, it was a very rich city. It was a city of palm trees. With the weather, I wish I was in the city of palm trees kind of right now. But it was that was the area, and they were coming in into there. And so we see the blind man. And the blind man, he's sitting down, and you know, he's just begging for his very existence. He doesn't know what's going to happen day by day, and he's just, you know, he's just trying to get by, and he's just trying to survive. And you know what? I was reminded of someone who's just trying to get by or to survive when I was in the Philippines. When we were in the Philippines, we went into a restaurant to eat, and we saw these children. I think it was four or five children, and they would peer against the glass, and we were trying to eat. And can I just tell you, you know, as a father, I wasn't very hungry anymore. I wasn't, because I know that these five children, they haven't eaten in about 2 or 3 days, and here I was. You know, I mean, I think it was like a Mongolian grill. You were able to cook whatever we wanted, and suddenly I just wasn't hungry anymore. And the missionary that we were with, they said, Mike, you know, you should keep that same heart, because a lot of people, after they see that, they'll kind of get used to it, and they'll grow cold, you know, and then things like that won't bother them anymore. But he says, this is what you have to understand, is that those kids, honestly, they're just trying to survive. You don't know. They might have been sold on the streets. They might be working there for the Muslims trying to raise money. And so as I thought about that, I thought about the blind man because Michael Wanzer, growing up, in my life, for the first 15 years of my life, I wasn't physically blind like the blind man, but I can guarantee you I was spiritually blind. I was. I knew nothing about the love of God, and you know, and I knew nothing, you know, about the Scripture. I haven't even considered the fact for 15 years, you know, growing up, that there was even a God that created anything. You say, well, you know, how did you get to that point? Well, I was born in Haley, Idaho. I was in the middle of Idaho, and my wife's family was different than mine. My wife's family, her dad was a missionary, and you saw it up there, and they traveled in a travel trailer, so they were used to traveling. Well, my family, we lived in a Volkswagen van. How many of you remember a Volkswagen van again? Remember those? Okay. All right. So I came from a fine hippies home, okay? All right. And, you know, we didn't go to church or anything. And my parents, they sold tie-dyed t-shirts. All right. So we just traveled around. And, you know, I'm not sure if we, you know, we probably didn't come up in this area. But we just traveled around. So we lived in a van. So I said, you know, we're kind of going back to our roots. You know, my wife was in a travel trailer, you know, and you know, I lived in a van. So, you know, we're just, you know, we're kind of used to it. Well, that was my life. And then so, you know, I was able to travel through the Rocky Mountains and, you know, and see beautiful places. You know, I saw the Pacific Ocean and then I saw the mountains. But I didn't know the God that created all those different things. And, you know, so that's the way that I grew up. And then, you know, after that time, when I was 3 years old, I was taken away from my birth family. A lot of just because of the lifestyle, you know, that we were living. And my mom would not stay away from her boyfriend, who was very abusive. And so I was thrust from that family. I was put into a foster home. And so I was in a totally new environment, didn't know what was going on. And I was with four different families after that. You say, well, why? Because my brother and I, we were hyper, okay? All right, so we had a lot of energy. And at the same time, we were frustrated about, you know, what was going on in our life. And so that was our family, you know. And you know, you might have that same type of story. You might know somebody, or, you know, you might be facing a battle today that you say, well, you know, I can tell you something that's a lot worse, you know, or you know, I can identify with you because I'm struggling right now. Well, that was me. I was spiritually blind. I knew nothing about God. And so they said, you know what, Mike? We have the answer. We have the answer that's going to fix everything. You ever had someone give that to you before? You know, they said, you know, I've been thinking about this, and, you know, and we have this answer, you know, and this is going to fix it all for you, you know, and I'm 6 years old, and I'm like, yeah, all right, let's go. You know, what's the answer? And they said the answer is going to be a forever family. And what the forever family was is they said that the forever family would adopt you, and you would live with them, and you would always be with them, and you know, you wouldn't go to any other families before. And so I said, hey, that's great. I'm excited. I said, but I have one question. You know, I was six, and I was talking to the judge, and I said, do they celebrate Christmas? And he said, well, why? Because the family I was living with were Jehovah's Witnesses before, and we didn't celebrate anything. So, you know, I said, well, do you do that? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, well, I'll go live with them. So, you know, so I thought, you know, I don't care if they starve me. I don't care. You know, as long as we celebrate birthdays and things. So I thought, you know, this one thing is going to fix it. I mean, it's just going to complete my life. You know, it's going to be amazing from now on. And I think about the blind man, because the blind man, he's sitting there, and I'm sure this thought came through his mind. Man, if I could just get a little bit more money, if someone could just give me a big stockpile of food, you know, if someone could just bring these things to me, you know, and I'm sure he had a lot of people, you know, try to counsel him. Well, if your parents wouldn't have done this, then you wouldn't be blind, you know, or if you didn't do this, then you'd be okay. You know, they were probably trying to tell him reasons why he was blind instead of giving him a solution, you know, well, this is what you can do. So there I was, and I was six, and I got adopted. And so I thought, you know, this is going to fix it all. And I had a good life, actually. Although I was born in Idaho, I lived in Australia. My mom is from Australia, so I'm not, you know, I've got dual citizenship there, and so we've, you know, again, another reason why I don't know where I'm from. We're just from, you know, we're from Kindersley this week. All right. So I lived with that family, and this family, I thought, this is going to fix it, right? You know what I mean? It should have. Well, when my parents were 11, actually, when I was 11, my parents got divorced. And so, you know, think about my life. I was living in foster homes, and they said, this one thing, Mike wants, was going to fix it all for you. And, you know, my whole dreams of this life were shattered because you know, this wasn't the perfect family anymore. And so I was mad and I was frustrated, and I started taking things into my own hands and started, you know, I thought I was so intelligent, I quit school at 7th grade. By the way, it's the dumbest thing I ever did in my entire life. So don't even think about it, okay? All right? If you're contemplating it, don't think about it. And then I thought, you know, I want freedom so much that I quit school, and I started dealing drugs, and, you know, I thought, I want freedom so much, I'm just going to live my own life. So I slept under bridges sometimes and other places. And then I ended up in a juvenile prison, which was exactly the opposite of freedom. Because someone told me what to do every single day. They told me what to wear, what to eat, which wasn't very appetizing, by the way. Okay? And so I was there, and I was faced with a situation where, man, I was begging for my very existence. I didn't know what I was going to do day to day. And that's why I identify with a blind man, because I didn't know what was going to happen tomorrow. I didn't even know if I was going to be alive tomorrow. And you say, well, how does that relate to me? Well, I believe all of us, if we can't identify with that blind man, we know somebody today that's in that very same place. That, you know, whether it's a relative you've been praying for, whether it's someone that you work with, where, man, they're just struggling and they're just trying to survive. And, you know, they're searching for answers. Well, I want to share you with you what the answer was for me, you know, and how God changed my life. And you know what the single greatest thing of truth that someone gave to me from the Scripture was that Jesus valued me as an individual, you know, and really, He wanted to have a relationship with me. And I think in this first few verses, as we see the blind man, we see he's begging and he's literally crying out. And this is what attracted him to Jesus Christ. It says in verse 36, he heard the multitude pass by, and he asked what it meant. Have you ever had somebody ask you why you're wearing a suit? You know, when you leave church, you say, you know, what are you guys so dressed up for? You know, I had it one time. I walked into a clothing store, and, you know, we just left from a funeral, and we asked, you know, someone asked, well, hey, where'd you guys come from? I said, we just left the funeral. She goes, man, all right, that's exciting, isn't it? She wasn't even paying attention, all right? And, you know, I said, yeah, it was my grandpa's funeral. I just preached it. We just left. She goes, man, you know, isn't that great? Do you want to know what's on sale today? I said, I don't want to even talk to anybody, all right? You know, but, you know, people are gonna ask, and so this blind man was attracted because you know these people were talking about something, you know, and there was commotion. And so I think that Christ saw the condition of that blind man. He said, well, what was his condition? Well, it took me 5 years of Bible college and, you know, a lot of studying to figure out he was blind. Okay? He was blind. And the only thing that could change his life wasn't more food, it wasn't more money, it was a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to change our lives. You know, whether you're here and, you know, you've gone to church your whole life, or you're just starting out and you're trying to figure out what's going on, it has to be a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, and, you know, so that was me. And I was in that juvenile prison, and I got out, and I was in a drug treatment center, and I was in Corvallis, Oregon. And I was there, and for the first time, I saw people that go to church, and I saw that they were happy. All right, so it's a challenge to us, you know, as we leave, you know, even if you're not, you know, even if you're tired, at least, you know, pretend like you're happy. You know, if someone asks you, hey, you know, where'd you come from? All right, hey, amen. Because you know, no one wants to come to a miserable place. All right. You can say, you know, you can at least tell them, hey, we had some food to eat. You know, it was great. So. You know, we see the man was blind, and then, you know, I was spiritually blind. You say, well, what happened after that? You know, how did you get from there to here? Well, let's look verse 38. It says the blind man, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In verse 39, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know why I believe so strongly that Christ values us and why he wanted to illustrate that? He saw the condition of that blind man, and it was in his plan to perform that miracle. All right? You know, and that was the whole reason why he was coming through the city. He wasn't coming through Jericho just to parade himself, you know, and just to attract people to him. This was the greatest challenge to us is that Jesus Christ came to serve. He did. You know, and that's it's a challenge to me personally. So, well, you know, how does that relate to you? Well, in that verse there it says, they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. So, in my life, in Michael Wanzer's life, I was presented with this. I saw someone who was very happy, and I asked him. I said, "Hey, what's different about you?" He says, "Well, God guides my life. You know, I don't worry about some of these other things because I trust in Him." And I said, "Well, how can I have that same happiness? You know, how can I be excited?" He says, "Well, you should just go to church. You know, you should try that starting up." So I went to church. And I walked in into the church, and I sat in the back row, and I walked in, and I have a green mohawk and a Marilyn Manson T-shirt on. You know, he's doing the cheering. Yeah, right on, man. You know, I skateboarded in church. I had these pants. Have you ever seen them before? They're called JNCO jeans, and you can make about 3/10 out of them. Have you seen them? They're huge. All right, they're big. You know, and so all 130 pounds of me, I thought I was just everything. Right, so you know, I walked in and I sat on the back row, and I thought, you know, this is it. This is going to change my life. It's going to revolutionize it. So I sat in the back, and I thought, this is what people do, and then they get happy, and then then that fixes everything. And I sat on the back row. I didn't hear anything the preacher said, just because I just thought, you just come and you're happy. And then the people there, they were given an opportunity to share the gospel with me and to talk to me. But, you know, I think they were scared because nobody talked to me. You know, and I'm sure the preacher, you know, with my green mohawk thought, man, he didn't think this guy's coming to set the pulpit on fire and get excited. He probably thought I was going to set the church on fire. All right? You know, so he didn't even, you know, and no one shook my hand. So it's sad. But, you know, I think in this verse it says, those which went before Christ, they were preparing the way. It says they rebuked the blind man. So in essence, what they were saying is, hey, you know, he's on a mission. We're preparing the way. He doesn't have time for you. So just, you know, keep quiet. Keep quiet. You ever had an opportunity to maybe invite someone to church? And, you know, maybe you have an invitation from the church, and God tells you, puts it in your heart, the Holy Spirit does. And you just say, well, you know, maybe not right now because I'm really busy. Maybe you're buying donuts for Sunday school. You got something really important you got to do. Or, you know, maybe it's because of fear. Maybe it's because, you know, you got 3 children in the van and you're really busy. Well, that was where I was on that day. But I wasn't the one who should have been doing it. I was the one that, man, people should have been asking me. So it didn't happen, but I praise the Lord. Hey, when God wants something done, He's going to get it done. All right? Amen? So you say, what happened? Well, the people that were walking before, this is what they didn't understand. Turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And by the way, if you're checking out your watches, I will be respectful of the time. We just got a couple more points left. All right? It says in Isaiah 42, this is what God says, not Michael Wanzer. It says, thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit of them that walk therein, says, I the Lord have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Then it says down in verse 16 of Isaiah 42, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. And so, you know, as we see the passage, those were the instructions, and that was really the, it was a really Scripture is proving what Christ came to the earth to do. Well, what Christ came to the earth to open the blind eyes and do those different things, those people that were walking before had a responsibility to bring that blind man to Christ. But they failed. You say, well, why? Well, you know, it doesn't really matter why. I believe the lesson that we can learn is sometimes we can get so busy doing those things which we think, you know, we're making everything right and, you know, making everything great on our outside and making sure everything's perfect in line in our lives. And man, we fail to share the grace of God with other people just because we're just so consumed with doing other things. But that's the whole reason why we're here. It is. It's first to, you know, glorify God and to worship Him and then tell other people about how to do the same thing. You know, it's as simple as that. As we go to the Philippines, this is the instruction given to us. God says, I'm the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. And in the Philippines, the glory that rightly belongs to the Lord is not being given to Him. You know, and I believe it's not just there, but it's all around the world. The glory that's rightly belongs to the Lord isn't being given to Him. So it's our responsibility to share the gospel with other people so that glory can rightfully be directed to Him instead of to those other things in our lives. You say, okay, so well, what happened with that blind man? Well, when he cried out, and those people around failed. In verse 40, I like this. The Bible says, and Jesus stood, and he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. See what happened with the blind man? Jesus stood, and you know, it's estimated there could be a few thousand people around. He had given the parables. And, you know, I can't imagine when those people were walking before said, he doesn't have time for you. He's on a mission. And Jesus stops. You know, how many of you have tried to stop somewhere with your children, you know, when you're walking somewhere, like in Walmart, you know, or going somewhere? You know, I've got three little ones, 5, 4, and 2. When I stop, they run into the back of my leg sometimes. You know, I mean, we try to keep them close with us. But can you imagine Christ stopping? I mean, it's just like thousands of people walking around. He stops because one blind man cries out. If he can do that for that one blind man, you know, can he not work in those situations in our lives that we think are just so overwhelming that God can't do anything for them? You know, and so that's what he did for me. I left the church and nobody had talked to me about the gospel that day, but I went to the drug treatment center and the man said this. He says, Mike, did you give your heart to the Lord at the church down there? And I thought, well, I went to church, you know, isn't that what you're supposed to do? He said, Mike, it's so much more than that. He says, Mike, it's going to church is a good thing. You know, paying a tithe to help and really that's a good thing. All these different things, you know, singing in church, just whatever, he says. But, you know, that's not why Christ died on the cross for your sins. It was because he wants to have a relationship with you. And he shared me how the Bible says, you know, he knew my father had died when I was 8. So he shared, man, God is the father of the fatherless in Psalm 68. And that God set up the solitary in families. And so he says, the only way that you're going to have peace is if you have a personal relationship with Christ. So it was that day, September 26th of 1997. He shared the gospel with me. He asked me if I was happy. I said, yeah, I'm the epitome of happiness. I got a green mohawk and a Merlin Manson shirt. You know, I'm just ready to go. But, you know, he showed me how God loved me. And, you know, I confessed my sins to Christ. And says, you know, he says, do you believe you sin? I said, well, I just got out of juvenile detention, you know, for dealing drugs. I think I've sinned before, right? So, you know, it wasn't hard for me to figure that out. And the hardest thing for me, because of growing up in the foster homes, was to accept that God was going to love me despite myself. It was. And that, you know, if I repented of my sins and placed my trust in Him, that, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs, a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. So it blew my mind to think that that yes, I was going to continually build my relationship with Him, but if there was a time that I failed, He wasn't just going to cast me away. That, you know, the God, that He would never leave me nor forsake me. And that, you know, if I, you know, not that I would have a desire to do those things, but when those times that I failed, I could always come back to my Heavenly Father. You know, and I could receive that forgiveness and be able to have the relationship with Him. And so, you see, what was the end result? Well, when the blind man was healed, this is what he did in verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people when they saw it gave praise unto God. So after that day in 1997, when I gave my life and my heart to Christ, I was placed in a Christian foster home, and that's where I met my wife. Victoria was at the church that we went to, because it was 17 teenage guys in the foster home, and so they would drop us off at church because they were tired of 17 teenage boys. All right, and so we would go there, and I started working, and man, it was my goal that when people saw my life, that they wouldn't think, you know, anything else but just praise God. You know, praise God. And that's still my desire when people see my family. And so from that day forward, that was my goal. I just immediately followed Him. And, I really received my sight because I wasn't spiritually blind anymore. I knew that, you know, hey, I was created for a purpose, you know. Later on, I found out through the scriptures that God wanted me to go to the Philippines. And did you ever think about this? That God didn't have to create you, you know, that He wasn't obligated to do it. And so, you know, we're here for a purpose, you know, and I believe that, you know, that this is why God wants me here. Man, is to go to the Philippines and, you know, and to serve Him right now as a missionary. And so I think as the blind man left, he might have said something like this, you know, and I think really this sums up the whole thing. And before I read it, I want to ask you this question, and then we'll be close, is that who is that person that's in your life that maybe you've been praying for and you've given up on? You say, you know, I just don't see how God can work anymore. Well, don't ever underestimate what the power of God can do in someone's life. Amen? You know, and it's maybe everything appears to be okay in your life on the outside right now, but you're thinking, man, I'm just like that blind man because, you know, although I'm a Christian, you know, I just can't see how I can get over this this hurdle that's in my life, and I don't see how God can work. Well, would you trust Him today? Would you trust Him through His Word? And then also, I believe it's an opportunity for us, it's a challenge for us to share the gospel with maybe someone who you wouldn't normally do, all right? You know, maybe you're not going to walk up to someone with a green mohawk and Maryland message and say, hey, you know, I think you're our next pastor. You know, would you come to church? You know, but don't put it past what God can do, all right? And, you know, I've met a lot of people who are uncomfortable speaking with people. Can I tell you just a personal testimony? That it's only by the grace of God that I could share the, really the riches of Christ and be able to talk about it today, because it's not in my ability. When I first got saved, I stuttered so much, and I still do some, that people would think, you know, I was Porky the Pig. I go, you know, and then I would try to talk, and, you know, and nothing would come out, and people thinking, is he a mime? You know, what's wrong with him? And you know what helped me get past that was just, I just shared the gospel with people. You know, I would talk to people, and it was uncomfortable at first, but I just kept doing it. I just kept doing it. And you know, when God puts that fire in your heart, there's nothing He's not limited by your abilities, if it's in His power. So I want to read this, and then we'll be finished. Say, well, what does the grace of God tell me? You know, I see you how He's changed your life. I've seen what the blind man, you know, his life was restored. But what can God do for me? You know, and what promises can He give me? Well, I believe that when the blind man walked away, his cry was turned from just, he was begging for his very existence before, and now he's saying this. He says, when I fall, He lifts me up. When I fail, He forgives, and He does. When I'm weak, He is strong. When I'm lost, He's the way. He's our shepherd. When I'm afraid, He is my courage. When I stumble, He steadies me. When I'm hurt, He heals me. When I'm broken, He mends me. Hey, when I'm blind, He leads me. And you said it earlier about the cattle on a thousand hills. When I'm hungry, He feeds me, all right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and guess what? He owns all the taters in the hills too. All right, so he knows how to provide for us. He does. And can I give a person? You know, I always give personal testimonies. He takes very good care of his property, but we have to be his property. We do. We have to take our plans and our desires and those things and give them to Christ and see if they match up with what He wants. And I believe also the blind man said this, is that when I face loss, He provides for me, because we are going to face loss. And when I face death, He will carry me home. And as I think about that, going to the Philippines, there's challenges. Hey, there's going to be challenges over in Madagascar. You know, there's challenges with the weather. You know, it could blow away my sun land in this afternoon, okay? But there's things that we're faced with. And you know what? What I believe Christ is looking for is are we going to micromanage it and try to do it our own way? Or are we going to allow Him to work and, you know, see what happens for His glory? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Preacher, come up. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. And Lord, as I think back about how You changed my life, and You continually do, Lord, I pray that You'd allow me to serve with this spirit of humility. And Lord, I also pray if there's someone here that's not saved, that they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and they're just trusting in their own things, or they're going to church, I pray they get that settled. I pray that the message was an encouragement, and that through the rest of the day, as we fellowship and spend time together, that You would keep us safe as we travel, and help us to come back expecting You to meet with us tonight. In Jesus Christ's most precious name we ask it. Amen.